And with the word fallen, let's go ahead and get into today's lesson. So does that answer your question somewhat, Piper? Okay. The effects of the fall. Now, you guys know this word because you had a question about what this means, fall and fallenness. Let me try to give you another analogy. You ever heard of a couple, like a romantic couple, breaking up?
Yeah.
Okay. So, so-and-so, they aren't together anymore. They're broken up. Now, is there something in their body that's literally broken? Why? Well, that's pretty good, Blakely. That's a good point. But what do we mean by broken? Hold on. Carson has his hand raised. Go ahead, Carson.
So there's supposed to be one flesh, but then they're broken into two.
Yeah, so there's a separation of the union. So how about if I use this word? So someone will ask about a particular couple who is divorced, broken up, or whatever, and they're really distraught and heartbroken over it, and they're kind of messed up. And we say, yeah, so-and-so, ever since the divorce, man, there's a real brokenness there. Brokenness. You know what that means, right? Brokenness. Like, things used to be okay, but now they're broken. Now, so when we talk about the fall, think of it in terms of brokenness. Adam and Eve used to have a good and harmonious relationship with God. There was a trust there. There was a loyalty there. There was no sin. But Adam and Eve chose to betray God and separate themselves from the kingly rule of God over their lives. And they went with what the devil said. And so now man is fallen. And the effects of the fall is that there is a very real spiritual brokenness in us, and that our affections and desires are twisted now. Okay? So structure refers to the way that God created things in agreement with his purpose and plan. So since you brought this up, Carson, when there's a one flesh union, I'm thinking you talk about marriage, right? So that's the structure that God. But Jesus, they asked Jesus about divorce, and Jesus said, you know, what God has joined together, let no man separate. But if you separate it, it's no longer according to the structure that God designed, right? So fallen direction refers to how the original structure has been bent. So that's another word, bent. Bent far away from its original goodness by the fall. I want to skip that because I want to get to... Now, we already know these things, okay? This is the part that I want to... So let's go to Genesis chapter 3. We should already be done with this lesson, but again, I'm going to point out from each party the effects, the negative effects from the fall, okay? The negative effects of the fall. And in your book, we're looking at page 70, okay? So as far as the serpent, I'm not going to cover that too much because we talked about it yesterday. As far as the serpent is concerned, God said that he would be a defeated foe. He's an enemy of the human race, Satan. So God cursed him and said that he would ultimately be defeated. So the devil is doomed. That's what the Bible says. He might prowl around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So he does still have a measure of influence and power. But God says that there's a day when that'll be over. Okay, so that's his curse. Now, the curse, let's start with Eve. Again, I think we've talked about this. I don't want to spend too much time on it, but listen to how Eve responds to God when God inquires about what she has done. So in Genesis chapter 3, God is looking for Adam and Eve. Well, he's not looking for them. He knows where they are. Okay, now, have you ever had your parent ask you a question and you're sort of like annoyed because you know that they know the answer. Okay? So, Skylar, your mom says, Skylar, I want you to go to your room and I want you to clean it. And I want it done before you go to bed. Okay? But then, I don't know whether you play video games or not.
I do.
Okay. What do you play? Do you play on an iPad, a computer, a game console?
Well, I used to play on the phone, and now I usually play on the Switch.
On the Switch? Xbox. Okay. So this is annoying, right? Your mom told you, go clean your room. Your mom walks into the living room, and you're sitting there on your Switch. And she has the audacity. And there's a part of you that you want to answer in a very smart, alecky way, right? And you're playing with your Switch.
Smart,
alecky, right? That's a nicer way to put it. And your mom comes and she'll ask you, Skylar! She sees what you're doing. She sees the Switch in your hands and she sees you doing it and she has the audacity to ask you, what are you doing? And you want to put the Switch down and look at her and go, you know what I'm doing. I'm playing the Switch. How do you not? Well, you know that she knows that what you're doing. She wants to know, are you aware what you're doing? Are you aware that you're playing the Switch when you know you should have been in your room cleaning it? Now,
it's just her inner blonde.
It's her. All parents are like that because God himself is like that. He's not asking for his sake. He's asking for your sake. Now, there are times when I get it because I used to do it. Your mom or your dad will ask you to do something and you legitimately forget. Like, you really do forget. It doesn't even enter your mind and you go on to do something else and they're mad. What are you doing? I'm like, I'm playing on my Switch. Why? Really? I'm like, really? What? What? Is there something wrong? No, I asked you to clean your room. I am so sorry. Mom, I totally forgot. Yeah, sure you did. No, but sometimes you really do forget, but most of the time you don't. You're doing it on purpose. Okay. So when God, when your parent comes home, my kids know when I'm home. You know why? Because I usually have something in my hand, and they hear the keys jingling, right, Andres? They hear the keys jingling and. Because they all look the same. And then another one goes in and Andres is on the couch playing his Switch and he's watching me at the door. Right? Because I don't like for people to open the door for me. I can open it. Unless I knock or ring the doorbell, then please get up and open it. Right? Because I hate the feeling of having your key and you're opening it and then it goes like that when somebody opens the door. So I'm like, I'm fine. Okay? But he doesn't have to look out the window. He knows it's me. Okay? Because I'm jiggling the keys and I finally get it. And then I sort of aggressively open the door. Okay, and then the second thing that happens is this, right, Andres? So there's a little bookshelf next to the door, and they hear this, right? I don't do like Leslie.
Jenny, hang the keys.
Right? No, I walk in and okay, and then the next thing they hear is watch. So I walk in, the door knocks, and then. My bag on the floor. Okay, everybody knows my sound. They don't have to see me. They're like, Dad is home. Now, when they were kids, when they were kids, my children would run because they heard the sound of the Lord come in the house. Daddy! Right? Okay. Daddy! So they, you know, Andres just ignores me. He's like, he don't even look up. He's on a Switch. Hey, Dad. Right? Rude.
Okay.
Rude. Anyways, but my older kids used to run, hey Daddy, you know, and they'd be happy to see me. But you know when I knew something was wrong? When I come to the door, I put the keys down, and I know my kids are home, and nobody comes out of the bedroom. Right? It's like they're hiding, and I'm like, something's wrong. Right? So I go to the bedroom, okay, and then my daughter, she'd be like, hey Dad. I'm like, okay. So I would go look for Lexi. Hey, are the kids in trouble? I knew they were. Yeah, you know what happened at school today? That's why. The guilty conscience kept them in their rooms, and they didn't come out and greet the Lord, right?
I think it's funny because you're the household.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
And so, okay, so they hid themselves when they heard the sound of the Lord, except they weren't naked, like the Bible says with Adam and Eve, right? Okay, but look at Genesis chapter 3. This is after they sinned. Look at verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now, yesterday, did we not talk about the fact that it would probably be weird if either you have a Satan show up in a non-serpent form way, but he's being serpent-like in that he's being crafty and sinful and tricking Eve. But we thought, well, that'll be weird because all of a sudden Satan shows up and Eve starts to have a conversation with him. How do you just start talking to some creature that you may not know about and he's telling you to do the opposite of what... He named the animals, but hold on, I don't want to get sidetracked. Okay, but is it weird for Adam and Eve to hear the sound of the Lord?
No.
Do you think it would have been something familiar to them?
Yes.
Okay, what are, one at a time, what are some sounds around your house that you hear on a regular basis and you know what it is so it doesn't bother you? The stove when you turn it on?
No, it makes it sound like rain is hitting the top of the stove.
Oh, okay. The tin?
Like it's...
But you, it's a familiar sound, so you're not worried about it, right?
Yeah. Every time my parents get home, and I always hear a car, my mom's car vibrates a little bit.
So you recognize the sound of the Lord, right?
Yeah.
So those are sound. So you know who got home by the sound. What about you, Blakely?
Like they were sleepy and crying.
Yeah. What about you, Piper?
Our gate is like metal, so when it's closing, it hits the pole. Ding, ding.
Yeah.
If it's the sound that my dad can sound, I know it's my dad.
Yeah, the sound of the Lord, right?
And the other sound that hits the stove is like raining metal.
Yeah. What about you, Skylar?
So my dad plugged in this sensor thing because the car's still.
Oh, when the car's coming through the gate?
Yeah. So whenever the car drives up and we have like 12 sensors because we have a long driveway.
Mm-hmm.
And we have one on our desk and it's like, ding, drive clear. And then it goes, and our other fence surrounding our house, it goes, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong. Over and over.
So you hear, so when your dad gets home,
I can get out of the car.
Yeah. What about you?
My dog barks.
You know what? If you really pay attention, sometimes you can tell the kind of bark that it is. You can tell whether it's a happy bark, like my master is home, or stranger danger bark. Like if you pay attention.
Yeah.
And this?
Whenever you
slam the door
on the truck, I can hear it. It's like.
Yeah, slamming the door.
Yeah, and I hear all the.
So here's my point. It says in verse 8, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Okay? Now, so this is not Adam and Eve. I don't know what that sounded like, but they heard God. They heard the presence of God. And what I am saying, it was probably a very familiar sound to them because remember, they are in a good relationship. It's not a broken relationship. They haven't sinned yet. No one has wronged each other. It's a very normal, healthy, harmonious, good, and holy relationship. And God shows up just like he probably showed up on previous occasions to check on Adam, see how they're doing fellowship. But this time, they hear the sound and they get scared. Why are they scared? What was that sound? Run, is that what you
run.
Said? Yeah, Piper?
They know they're in trouble, Carson?
They're about to die.
Yeah, so they're scared. So it's like, quick, hide! Like, you're hiding from he who sees everything. So when God says, But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" Now, do you think God doesn't know where he is?
No.
So why is God asking, "Where are you?"
He's
like,
exactly, Blakely. Blakely made the connection. Yeah, no, Blakely made the connection that I was hoping you all would make, namely that the question is the same question as if when Ms. Trevino is asking Skylar, what are you doing? She knows what she's doing. So does Adam know where he is? And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid." That's very unusual, because I don't think Adam on any other occasion would have been afraid. So God is acknowledging that there's something wrong with this relationship now. Okay?
Like, what kind of afraid? Because you can be like, you can be afraid.
And God immediately knew. He says, "Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" Now, listen to Adam's response. Whenever you're in trouble, what's the first feeling that you get? What's the first tendency that you get?
Guilt.
Well, there's guilt, but you want to somehow excuse or justify your behavior. In other words, you usually want to blame something or somebody else.
Brian.
Okay? So, in this case, it sounds like Adam is blaming someone else. What does he say, class, in verse 12?
"The woman whom thou gavest to me with me, as you gave me of the tree, I did eat."
Yeah, listen to this. So pretend Edward, he's playing the role of God, and he asked me, go ahead and ask me, "Have you eaten of the tree?"
I'm God. Have you eaten from the tree?
Well, you know what? The woman whom you gave me, she gave me of the fruit and I ate. But it's the woman you gave me. What does that sound like, class? No. Listen to it again.
You're God, and you ask me, and I'm Adam. Okay? "Have you eaten of the tree which I told you not to eat?" Well, let's talk about that. The woman whom you gave me. She gave me the tree that I ate.
Blaming him.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm trying to see the point of God.
I didn't hear you. I'm sorry. But there seems to be this insinuation, or he's being sort of subtle. But I don't know. But it almost sounds like Adam is saying, it's not entirely my fault because, well, it's the woman you gave me. She gave me and I ate. And so, Eve, okay. So then Eve is addressed by God. So the Lord says in verse 13, "The Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this that you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me and I ate. The devil made me do it.'"
Blaming.
So with Adam, the tendency is to blame God. With Eve, the devil made me do it, right? The only one that doesn't make excuses for himself is the devil. Well, that's interesting. Right, he's not even allowed to talk because. Go ahead, Blakely.
If the tree was in the garden and they could eat whatever they wanted, do you think they ever would sin?
Probably not. No, because in order for sin to be sin, there has to be a violation of a known command.
Then why did God make the apple?
It doesn't say it was an apple.
Wait, wasn't it an apple?
No.
No, it was just a fruit.
It isn't. Good job, Edward. Yeah, it isn't. Most people think it's an apple, but we
but
really
it's
don't know.
Or
we don't know what it looked like. We don't know what kind of fruit. It was just some kind of fruit.
From a tree.
Hold on.
Is it still, you know, like the Garden of Eden somewhere in the 12 movies? Is that tree still there?
No, it's all destroyed. The flood changed everything about the earth, so it's all gone. Adam?
So they don't know where the Garden of Eden is.
We don't know where the Garden
of Eden is. It's like the Fertile Crescent thing.
Yeah.
It's still here.
It's like
the rock, or just forgot how to say it.
Never mind.
I'll tell you.
Okay, so here, go ahead, Scott, Bree.
Didn't like you say or something like that? Or in the Bible, it says like that the fruit doesn't exist today, or something like that.
I would say that it's no longer there. It's all been destroyed after the flood. The geography of the earth changed. The continents split up. So it's basically all gone. It belongs to the pre-flood world.
So then it's probably not an apple
because
we still have a bunch of apples.
Oh, you're talking about I don't know the answer to that, Bree. It's some kind of fruit. We don't know what kind of fruit.
But does that mean like...
What you're saying is that technically whatever the tree was and whatever kind of fruit it produced, whether it could have had like produced after its own kind and then it continues to this day, I don't know. Go ahead, Skylar. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Andres. Hold on. Go ahead, Andres.
I was saying like how people think it's an apple day and it's just a fruit. We don't know. It's like how Cain killed Abel.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point. I saw. Yeah. The point that Andres is saying is that people make assumptions. And so here's one of them. Tell me what's wrong with this. Okay. I don't know if you guys would get it. I saw a meme. Someone arguing that the problem isn't guns. Guns aren't a problem in our society. The problem is the sinful human heart. And so the meme said, Cain killed Abel with a rock. It's not rocks that are the problem, but people. Now, what's wrong with that?
Nothing's wrong with it. It's true.
Where in the Bible does it say that Cain killed Abel with a rock specifically?
Oh,
it doesn't. So the human mind, sometimes when we don't have like detailed information, we have a tendency, without even knowing it, we have a tendency of filling in the information without being aware that we're doing it. How about this one? Do you remember when Jesus knocked Saul off his horse?
Yeah.
You know when Jesus appeared to him and knocked him off the horse?
Is that when he got
blind? Yeah. The Bible doesn't say there was a horse.
Oh, wait.
You see what I mean?
Yeah,
did they make up a Bible story?
Yeah. No, what happens is our human minds, when we're missing information, we sort of tend to fill in the details. But we need to be careful about that because the Bible doesn't say certain things and we fill in the details. Okay, now the time is flying by so quickly. So I want to be able to, and I'm going to write it up here on the board. I want to write it up on the board. These are going to be... Yeah. Okay. Shh. Let me use this board instead. We're going to talk about the effects of the fall on people. Wow, come on, cooperate. Okay. Who has good handwriting?
Me.
Piper? She volunteered first. She was quick. She
just.
Yeah, come on. All right, in Genesis 3, I'm going to read it real quick because I only have about 10 minutes. So grab that, and you're going to write down this. So I'll tell you when to write it down. So when it comes to the woman, look at verse 16. To the woman, he said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. So write pain in childbearing. Oh, pain, P-A-I-N, not paying as in money.
Oh, me, not her.
Well, she's going to pay that too, but in this one, we're talking about P-A-I-N, like pain as in hurt. You could just write pain. No, P-A-I-N.
Are you turning on my brain off?
Two words.
I'm sorry, I'm going to do
pain.
No.
In.
I didn't know you were right there. Okay.
Yeah. Having children. Yes. And then the second negative, this is a negative effect But the word is a little misleading. What's this? Can anyone identify the second effect that is going to come upon the woman with her relationship with her husband? Go to verse 16. What does it say? What does it say? Go ahead. Well, what's the second negative effect between the relationship with the husband? In verse 16. So the first thing is...
labor.
Well, that's covered right here. Pain and having children. What's the second thing?
Your desire to rule over you, husband.
Desire for your husband.
What does that mean?
About to explain what that means. Desire... okay, hold on. How about, write it this way, desire to rule over husband.
Yeah, that's what mine says.
Wait, the wife...
yours says that?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Read it aloud.
The whole entire verse?
Yeah, read the whole verse. Listen to her translation.
Then he said to the woman, I will sharpen the pain of your pregnancy, and I will pain... wait, and in pain you will give birth, and you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you.
Okay, now, put husband will rule over you. That's a bad thing. I might explain what that means.
What? Your husband
to
rule? Desire
to rule? I'm going to explain that.
That's,
yeah, but I'm about to explain that because this is a very difficult verse for a lot of people conceptually, okay?
What does that mean to be conceptual?
Like, as far as the idea, because she Blakely is recognizing that the husband should take a ruling kind of relationship. Okay, thank you very much, Piper. Okay, so we're identifying three things. Now, is this... let's think in terms of blessing and cursing, okay? In Genesis 1, what does God do with Adam and Eve? Bless, right? Okay, so they're blessed by God. He blesses them by making them in His image. And then He blesses them by making them rulers, plural. Okay? Alea. Okay. Look at Genesis 1, Alea. Alea or Alea?
They have the same name. Hers is just
Spartan. No.
Call her what?
Alea,
right?
Alea.
Okay. Okay, Alea. Look at verse 26. Now, everyone, listen up. What is verse 26 of Genesis chapter 1 say?
Wait,
yeah, Genesis 1:26. What does it say?
Then God said, let us make mankind in our image.
Okay, she said mankind. Okay, so here both the man and the woman are made in God's image. Okay, now read the second part of that verse.
In our likeness.
Listen, guys.
So that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over livestock and all the wild animals.
Okay, so listen, this is really, really important because we talked about this yesterday, because it says God made male and female in His image for what purpose?
To rule over.
So that only one of them may rule, or that both of them may rule? Okay.
One will rule, but one will like help them.
It says so. Let no. It says let them rule. Let them rule.
Oh.
Now, does a queen rule?
Yes.
Does a king rule?
Yes.
But they rule in different ways.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, so here's the image that I'm trying to get you to understand. Both God intended for both the man and the woman to be royalty in this respect and to rule. So the king rules in his way and the queen rules in a complementary way. So it's not like the man is the ruler and the woman is the servant. No, she is a co-heir with him. She is a partner with the man, but he has the primary responsibility to take the lead, and then she helps him, because that's the language of Genesis. It is not good that the man should be alone, but God says, let me make him a helper to rule. Okay, so what's the difference between rule alongside, or we could say, I'm going to write the same thing, rule with. What's the difference between What's the difference between the man ruling over his wife or the man ruling alongside or with his wife?
Hold on.
Go ahead, Bree.
Because over means that he has a lot more power, and she's not being his helper.
Yeah.
Maybe. But if alongside means that he has a helper and she still rules, and rule over means that the woman is not rule anymore.
Excellent, Bree. Excellent. Now, listen to this. In the original creation, God meant for man and the woman to rule alongside and to rule with each other. That's the blessing, right? That's the blessing. But this is the curse. So we cannot say that any of these things are good. This is all a curse. Now, remember the curse and sin is you take something good and you get it bent out of shape and now it's fallen? Okay, is having children part of the blessing?
Yes.
Be fruitful, multiply?
Yes.
What's the problem here?
Pain.
Pain. Now it's painful. Now, I don't think painful as in somebody earlier said labor pains. I think it's painful in that, sometimes your parents will say, you know what, you're being a pain in the butt right now. Right? Maybe not. My parents told me that. Did your parent ever told you that, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now what do they mean by that? They simply mean that you're being difficult and you're causing me grief by your disobedience. You're not listening, you're not doing what you're told, and you're just giving me grief right now. You're being a real pain right now. So go to your room. Now, so you gave your mom labor pains, physical pain, and to this day you continue giving her pain. Right? Now you bring a lot of blessing as well because you're made in your parents' image, you're made in God's image, and you're very special and very loved by your parents, but because of this fallenness, there's still pain. So when God tells Eve, in pain, you're going to have children, you don't restrict that to just the labor pains. Now, notice how Eve now, part of what it means to be fallen, is she will no longer want to rule alongside or to rule with. Now, she wants to rule over. Okay? Now, typically what happens to a woman in a marital relationship when she tries to rule over the husband, some husbands are pushovers, right? And they allow it to happen, right? And other husbands, what do they do? They push back. And who's the stronger of the two physically? The husband. So, this is bad. 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 So here's what happens. Her desire is now going to want to rule over him in whatever way that she can, but he's going to respond harshly in a sort of machismo. I'm the boss. You don't tell me what to do, woman. You need to know your place. Okay? That's sinful because that's a sinful kind of way to be along your wife. Jesus was not like that. Jesus with women was gentle and so he models what it's like to be the good and godly man, Jesus, with his bride. Not that he's literally married to a woman, but the church. So Jesus models what Adam should have modeled. That's all the time that we have for today. Tomorrow, listen, don't get up yet. Tomorrow we're going to cover the negative effects upon Adam. So today, you need to understand that whole Genesis 3, it's curses, not blessings. Don't get up. You have a question before we leave?
It's not a question, but I will forget this tomorrow. So, if the two last ones,
uh-huh,
the curse part, wouldn't the right one be to rule with?
Yes. But she's still a helper. So he still leads the way, and she rules alongside him and supporting his decisions, right? So it's a partnership. It's not master-slave relationship. It's not, just do what you're told relationship. It's more like the woman brings a lot of things to the relationship that the man needs because it's not good for him to be alone. Everyone got it? All right, we'll see you guys tomorrow.